James chapter 1, look down at verse number 22 and follow along as I read through the end of this chapter here through verse number 27. James 1, verse number 22 through 27, he says, "Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he, being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world." We are going to this evening observe the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper is an ordinance that's been given to the church, the same as the ordinance of baptism. These two ordinances have been given to the church, and both of these ordinances are a picture. Obviously, we do not believe in transubstantiation. We don't believe in consubstantiation. We don't believe that this becomes the body and blood of Christ, that we are actually sacrificing Christ fresh and anew each time we observe the Lord's Supper. We don't believe that. We believe that this is a picture of Jesus Christ sacrificed for us, of the blood that he shed for us, of his body that was broken for us. We believe it's a picture, and the baptism is a picture of the salvation that we have in Jesus Christ. Both of these ordinances were given to the church to help keep the church clean, without spot, to help us to be sure that as often as you do this, as often as you purpose to gather and observe the Lord's table, and some churches do it more often and some do it less often, but whenever you do it, the purpose is that you would examine yourself, that you would look at your heart. And here, verse number 27 says, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this. So this evening, for just a couple of minutes, I want to talk to you about pure religion. Pure religion. Now, how many of you have ever heard someone say something like this, or kind of to this effect, "Well, I just don't do religion," or I avoid all organized religion. You know, they kind of get this mindset, this idea that religion as a whole, and typically when they're saying that, they're not thinking about religion in a biblical sense, they're thinking about religion in a worldly sense. And that religion in a worldly sense is really ceremonial practices that are held for the purpose of feeling spiritual. These are traditions of men. These are ceremonies that are observed. These are practices that are done in order for people to have religion. You know, the word religion is only found five times in the Word of God, and religious two times. And most of the time when it's mentioned, it has to do with some type of worship, but not necessarily the worship of God. The observance of these ceremonial traditions, I want you to know that there are a whole lot of them that have nothing to do with God. There is, in fact, the vast majority of what we would call religions in the world have a lot of religious practices which are designed to add some solemnity to a situation that would make people feel spiritual, make people feel religious. It's designed specifically for that purpose. I think that you know and understand that just because you're religious doesn't mean you're righteous. Man, growing up in El Paso, Texas, the majority of my friends were Mexicans. And they, of course, many of them went to the Catholic Church. And there was this Well, we can, you know, do what we want all week as long as we go to Mass on Saturday. We can just go to Mass on Saturday and then do and live and be whatever we want throughout the week. So just because you observe some religious practices doesn't mean you are righteous. And just because you are religious, it doesn't mean that you know God. There are many groups, actually far too long to even mention, that observe and practice religious ceremonies that are not only don't have anything to do with God, they're anti-God. Pastor Whitaker was telling me about he was out door knocking, and he knocked on the pastor of the pagan church in town. He says, oh yeah, I'm the pastor of the pagan church. That's an oxymoron. I mean, pagan and church. And Pastor Whitaker was like, well, what do you do in church? If you don't worship God, they have religious ceremonies. They have things that they do. How many of you have heard of Wicca? Literally means witches. The Wiccans, when we were in Kansas, we used to have a prison ministry, and we would go into the prisons. Well, the group that was in the prison before us was the Wiccans, and they had religious ceremonies. They have religious ceremonies that they do. The old Druids, a group of built and established around many types of religious and ceremonies, but has nothing to do with God. So there is an aspect of religion in this world that really is a deterrent to Christianity. You've heard me say it, and I'm sure you've heard others say it, that, you know, religion never took anybody to heaven. And that's fun to say when you're out witnessing and talking to people, and you're like, matter of fact, I don't like religion. They're like, what? You're a pastor? You don't like religion? Like, no, I don't really care for religion at all. The truth of the matter is religion is responsible for sending as many people to hell as just about anything else. Because they have this false sense of security that, oh, well, I'm religious. But you and I both know that that doesn't make them righteous. We're only made righteous through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. For many, their religion takes the place of God. Religion is their God. Jesus often denounced religion as he dealt with the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Religion, in fact, is in many cases the enemy to the cause of Christ. Christ says you must be born again. Satan says religion is enough. There is an aspect of religion that the Bible speaks about here that's pure religion. Pure religion. And I want to look at this text and give you just a couple simple thoughts for it. First of all, I want you to see the deceived. I believe that the vast majority of people that gather in churches around the country, not just right now during COVID, but even before this, the vast majority of them literally are deceived. He says, but if ye be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Deceiving your own selves. You see, there are many that are deceived because their religion doesn't do anything for them. Their religion doesn't change their life. They are hearers of the word, but they're not doers. They come in and they sit in churches like ours or of any stripe that you want to say, of any group that you want to say. They come, they gather, and they sit in church and it doesn't make any difference in their life. They're just hearers of the word. Would you turn to Ezekiel? Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Joel. So it's in there. Ezekiel's kind of a hard book to find sometimes, but turn to Ezekiel chapter 33. God is talking to the prophet here in Ezekiel, and he's describing what I believe is very fitting for many churchgoers today. In Ezekiel 33, look down at verse number 31. He says, "And they came unto thee as the people cometh, and they sit before thee as my people, and they hear thy words, but they will not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after their covetousness." Does that sound like describing Americans today? Much love. Oh, how I love Jesus. But our hearts go after our covetousness when we walk through the back doors. Verse number 32. "And lo, thou art unto them as a very lovely song of one that hath a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument. For they hear thy words, but they do them not." He says unto the prophet, he says, "The prophet, you get up and you speak. And it's with such a melodious and eloquent tone." God was talking about me there. He says that the people come and they listen. They listen with joy. But it's not making any difference in their life. They're hearers, but they're not doers. They've just come quite literally for entertainment. Quite literally just to be entertained for an hour, and they go away the same way they came. When we were on vacation, the family and I, we went and saw the Bar J Wranglers. And this is some cowboys. They run a cattle ranch out there. And they serve you some very expensive food. And then they put on a little show for you. They actually have in their group now, he's been there for 25 years or something like that, but two-time world champion fiddler. And he can play the fiddle. And they got some very talented people there. And they sing some old cowboy songs, you know, "Home, Home on the Range" and such. And we enjoyed our meal and had a good time watching them. But it was just entertainment. I mean, we got done and left. We weren't any different. We weren't looking to be different. Well, we were fuller. We might be a little fatter. But actually, the beans weren't any good. So they said they were trying to reproduce what the food would have been like on the cattle drive. And I thought, well, we don't care what the food's like on the cattle drive. We want food that's good. So they said, "These beans," they said, "these beans, you can't hurt them, you know. You could pave your driveway with these beans." He says, they say, "Anything you do to an old red bean improves it." But it was not very good. But the show was fun. But what I'm saying, it was just entertainment. I wonder how many gather in church Sunday after Sunday just to be entertained for a little while. Boy, I hope the pastor tells some good jokes. Boy, I hope he tells a great story. Instead of, "Man, I hope God changes me today." They're hearers of the word, and they're deceiving themselves. They deceive themselves because they think they're religious, but their religion is vain. Beloved, it's not about who is up here speaking. It's not about the personality of the preacher. You know, Brother Kaiser, he's loud. He lifts his voice up, and I mean, he doesn't need a mic in here. He wouldn't need a mic in an auditorium of 600, 700. I mean, he can lift up his voice, and he'll be heard fine. Some people don't like him loud. I remember a preacher came one time when I was in college, and he literally told jokes for 45 minutes. And then he read his text and said, "We ought to emulate this verse in our life," and prayed and closed. That was the gist of his message. There's all different kinds of people that stand behind the pulpit. It's not about the personality of the preacher or about his prowess in the pulpit. It's about the Word of God. And if the Word of God is being preached, if thus saith the Lord, if the Scriptures are being expounded, God wants to and should speak to our hearts. Is it real? Are we just hearers of the word? "For if there be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass." I want you to see that not only are those that are just hearers that deceive themselves, but there are also those that are forgetful that deceive themselves. He says, "For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was." John, can you bring that up here? I got a real live illustration tonight to capture and hold your attention. You know what he's bringing up. He's bringing a glass. Now, we just grabbed this out of the tool room, so we'll just set it down right here. You know what this scripture's talking about. This scripture's, yeah, you can, well, I want to carry it over here and show these boys themselves. Can you carry it over there and show these three boys their image in the glass? Now, don't get scared, boys. That's just do you sit, tell somebody, you want to see something scary? And they say, yeah, and then you put a mirror up. So you behold yourself in a glass. He says, you know, you get up in the morning and you go to get ready for the day. And, you know, like me, when I get ready to do my hair, I look at the mirror. And to make it more applicable to me, let's say something that's happened to me before, as I may be getting ready, and I'll notice that I have a spot on my tie. When I'm looking in the mirror, I see that, and I say, oh, I've got a spot there. I didn't notice it till I was looking at myself in this mirror, but I saw the spot. And so in my mind, I say, oh, I'm going to clean that, get a rag and wash that off. But, you know, right now I'm brushing my teeth, or right now I'm shaving, and I'm going to finish this first. And then somebody sends me a text, and I answer the text, and Pastor Derek calls me, and I talk to him, and I go downstairs and get my Mountain Dew for breakfast. Hey, it's past August. I went a whole year, so now I can drink Mountain Dew, okay? But I get my Mountain Dew for breakfast, and I get ready for my day, and I go outside, and I get in the car, and I'm going all day. Then later in the day, I may walk into the restroom here at the church, and I look, and I'm like, oh, I forgot. I've had that spot on my tie all day. I saw it there first thing in the morning, but I forgot. Because I got busy doing other things. I got distracted. That's what he's talking about. And that mirror is never going to lie to you. That mirror, you look at that and you know what, boys? I'm sorry, but that's what you look like. There's nothing you can do about it. That's just the facts. I mean, when you look in that mirror, that's what it is. Right? You can't. When you look in the mirror, you don't have long hairs, do you? You look in the mirror, your hair is the same as it is, right? It is that mirror, just a reflection. The Bible here, that perfect law of liberty. When we look into the Word of God, this is a mirror, and it's never going to lie to you. As it speaks to your heart and says, boy, you ought to make this change. You ought to adjust here. You ought to be more sensitive to the Spirit of God. And we say, man, I need to do something about that. And if you're like any normal Christian, and I'll be the first to raise my hand, there's been many a time that God stirred my heart, and I said, boy, I see that problem. Yeah, I need to do something about that. But then I got distracted. I got busy doing other things. I didn't actually seal that decision with God and make that change in my life. So I was a forgetful hearer. Jesus, my religion is vain. I was deceived, deceiving myself, thinking that, oh, I'm religious. But God says when you look in the Word, this perfect law of liberty that never lies, and it points something into your life, and you see that something needs fixed, and you don't do anything about it, you're deceiving yourself. Also, we see that the loose-lipped are deceiving themselves. In verse number 26, he says, if any man among you seem to be religious, now notice he says among you, means in your midst, any man in church, any man among you that seems to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his whole heart, this man's religion is vain. What this really is talking about here is self-control. Controlling your tongue. James 1, verse 19 says, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath." We should be slow to speak. We should control our tongue. And those that cannot control their tongue, and this is dealing with controlling of the flesh, controlling your body, and you know, the Bible tells us that if you can control that little member, you can control the whole body. And that's what Christ is getting to here, I believe. He's talking about what we were dealing with this morning, Pastor Derek did in Sunday school, about gluttony, about controlling what we eat, about saying no to the flesh, about saying you will only eat this amount and you're not going to have 3 pieces of coconut cream pie at 10 o'clock at night, even though you would like that. Some of you don't like coconut cream pie. Marie Callender's coconut cream pie, man. Stuff's delicious. Yeah, no, I know you like chocolate. That's a sin. Self-control. He says that your religion is vain if you can't control this. That's powerful. Beloved, we're talking about you. If any among you seem to be religious, I'm saying here he's in church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Thursday night. He's part of the church and he carries his Bible or she carries her Bible and they come into church and they sing the songs of Zion. They maybe even participate in the choir and they're here and excited about what God's doing. You look at them and say, man, they're religious. God says, if they can't control this, all of that is vain. Controlling the tongue. Vain means empty, means useless. How sad to think that all the things that we do to fear spiritual are empty and vain. The Bible says that in a multitude of words there wanteth not sin. That means the more you say, the more likely you are to sin. The more likely you are to say something that you shouldn't say. We've got to control our tongue, Christian. We've got to control our tongue. James 3, verse number 2 says, "For in many things we offend all, but any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able to bridle the whole body." Able to bridle the whole body if you can bridle the tongue. Let me ask you this. Do you remember the story of Peter when he denied Christ? How did Peter's accusers know that he was one of Christ? His speech. His tongue betrayed him. And then what did he use to try and convince them that he was not? His tongue. This is an important thing. What we're dealing with talking about here is control. One who professes Christ but does not control his tongue, his religion is vain. So we see those that forget what God shows them in the perfect law of liberty, those that just hear for entertainment purposes but don't allow it to speak to their heart, and those that don't control the tongue are just deceived. They're just deceived. But beloved, I want you to see this evening the devout in verse number 27. There's only two things here. Christ makes it simple for us. The devout, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this. Well, I want to know what pure religion is, don't you? Yeah. Pure religion, here it is. Two things. To visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction. And to keep himself unspotted from the world. So these two things we're going to say like this. First of all, is compassion. We talked about this morning as far as Christ. Christ and his compassion for us. And if we as Christians want to be Christ-like, we've got to have compassion. He says here, visiting the fatherless and the widows. These are people who can't do anything for you. These are people who aren't going to reciprocate. They're not going to be able to take you out to dinner when you take them out to dinner. These are people that you just give out of love and compassion. The fatherless, the widows. That's pure religion. Having compassion on the lost, on your brothers and sisters in Christ. Compassion that makes us do the work to go. And then secondly, to be clean, to be clean. He says, and keeps himself unspotted from the world. That's just what the Lord's table is all about. Because we know that you're not supposed to take of the Lord's table unworthily. If any's going to take of the Lord's table, they're supposed to examine themselves. Let the Holy Spirit, let God speak to their heart and examine them to see if there's any wicked way in them, anything that they need to confess, that they are not taking of the Lord's table unworthily. The one that practices pure religion will be unspotted from the world. You'll be clean. This goes very contrary to the modern movement in churches today that want to just bring the world in. The church is the world. We're gathering for entertainment every Sunday, but we're not allowing religion, our relationship with Christ, to change us. The Bible tells us a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. I mean, how much dirt has to be on the plate for you not to use it? You go to a restaurant and it's all you can eat and they have the stack of plates there and you grab one. It's not bad. Only a little food left from the last person. Do you use that plate? No. You set it aside and you're hoping that next plate's clean and you examine it and you think, well, maybe I'll get a napkin and wipe it off and put hand sanitizer on there. No, don't do that. It tastes terrible. Hand sanitizer. I don't know if you've ever had the privilege of, you know, using hand sanitizer and then eating some candy or something and you get that flavor. Oh, that's so gross. But you don't want dirty plate. Doesn't take any, just a little bit. God doesn't want dirty vessels. We need to be unspotted. And a Christian that has pure religion desires to be pure, desires to be clean before God. We do not want to have any spot or blemish that could be put on the name of Christ or the cause of Christ because of us. That's what pure religion is. Compassion for others and clean in our heart. You remain seated if you would, and I'm going to ask the pianist to come and play a moment of invitation. We want to be clean. This is what the Lord's table is all about. This is an observance, a time to force us to think about and remember what God has done in our heart, how he's forgiven us of our sin and the sacrifice he made, and we don't want that to be in vain. We want to be clean before God. So there is a time of examination that takes place before we observe the Lord's table, and we're going to have that time of examination now. You pray in your heart. Be sure you're ready, that you're clean, that you're in a place to take and observe the Lord's table. As the pianist plays, you deal with God.